I am very excited about our church. I believe God's going to do some wonderful things with our church. And I'm so excited about Gospel Light Baptist Church. If God wants to do that, then there needs to be some things that we need to be ready as a church to be able to handle for greater things. I believe there are some very important themes of our church. I think the first thing to do is to reach the lost. It's what we're here for. We're here to go soul winning. We're here to reach the lost. I believe the next important theme of our church is to work at our families and to have strong families. Our church is only as strong as our families. It's only as strong as our marriages and our homes. And it's very important. I think our families are very important. The last thing, and equally important, is our church needs to stay in one accord. The devil loves to destroy churches from the inside with division. And I believe the best way to always make sure that the church is in one accord and always close is for everyone to always try to outdo the other person. Are you sure? There are some competitions that are bad for a church. As a matter of fact, there are many competitions that will destroy us. There are some competitions that I believe would help us a whole lot. You say, what are you talking about? I believe our church would be a lot better if we were trying to beat each other in helping, in loving, in serving, in giving, in praying, and expressing love. I want to be led of the Holy Spirit more. And I'm not in contest with you to be led of the Holy Spirit more than you are. However, it is a good thought to ponder for about 5 seconds. I do want to be Spirit-filled. I don't want to be in the flesh. I do want to be more usable. And I'm not in competition with you to be more usable, but if you ponder it just for a minute, don't get mad about it, just think about it, I want to be a usable Christian. I would hope you would want to also. Like I said, many competitions can destroy a church. I know jealousy has crippled many churches. I know power struggles that should never be in God's house. Have you ever noticed the paradox in the Christian life is this? It's a paradox. It's unusual. The way you find your life is by losing it. And I know I've told you this before, but the way up is down. We don't think like the world. The way to honor is you first practice humility. The way you get is by giving. And the way we lead is by serving. It's exact opposites. Remember I told you, you start out, I know I've told you this before too, we start out a student. Then we become a soldier. Then what's the highest calling in the Christian life? Servant. Student, soldier, and finally, a servant. Now how much can we serve and be a help? Everybody here should always try to be a better servant to someone else than they can be to someone else. I know that sounds funny. I want to be a servant. The biggest mistake you'll make is to believe that you're working for someone else. I'll say it again. The biggest mistake you'll make is believing that you're working for someone else. When we were taping the buses, there was a lot of work in that. And I remember I walked up to Brother Dorsey and I said, this is a lot of work. He said, well, I'm not serving you, serving the Lord. He said, that makes it easier, doesn't it? I said, yeah, it does. He said, it helps you do your best, doesn't it? I said, yeah, it does. The greatest mistake you'll make is to believe that you're working for someone else. God says in Colossians, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. And I love this verse. If I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. That statement is very powerful. That's Galatians 1:10. If you're serving men, then you're no longer serving Christ. That's a strong statement. If there is one thing I want to beat and win in, is being a servant. And I believe I hold the pastor title because when I was elected to be pastor, a pastor is chosen. Can you serve? Can you help? Can you help me grow? And that's, I'm here because I'm here to serve. If I looked at our text tonight, look at Matthew 20, look at verse number 23. Here, James and John's mother, the sons of Zebedee, come to Jesus, and you know, they'd asked the question before, couldn't get, you know, Jesus, they asked the question twice, only this time they sent their mom. You know what I mean? You know, first time Jesus says, no, it's not mine to give, and you can't quit, you know, it caused fighting among the apostles, and then the second time, Mom, would you ask Jesus if we could sit on his right hand? So here comes, you know, Mom with, you know, Oswald and Oswaldo, and can my boys are gifted and they're special, can they sit at your right hand? And look at what the Savior says. Look at what the Savior said. You thought this was a PTA meeting, but watch this. He saith unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. He was basically telling them, he said, all of you are going to be put to death like I am. You'll drink of my cup. They're going to crucify me, and all of you, all except John. But John was boiled in oil and exiled to Patmos. I don't think he had a cakewalk. You know what I mean? To be boiled in oil and live through it? You know what I mean? That's not a blessing. So he looks at him, he says, you will drink of the cup. And you will be baptized with my baptism. Then look at the last statement. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. As I read this and I thought about it, it seems that verse 23 it lends itself to choosing the leader by who God the Father thinks is the best servant. So we're all in competition right now. God keeps track of everything that you do for God, every time that you spend. And we will find out at the judgment seat of Christ who served the most. And I think we're going to be shocked. It won't be people that we thought. We will be shocked. And it looks like right now we're supposed to be, if we're vying for competition and vying for position, I think the one thing that we should be working for that God is watching is how we serve and how we help. How we help. We should try and want to be the best servant we can be, and we should want our capacity to serve and help to increase. That is what the definition of a deacon should be. I want to serve and help more people. Now, if you ask, if deacons come from a Southern Baptist church, they're not taught this. I don't know who came up with the idea of ordaining a deacon, but that's not in the Bible. It's in Southern Baptist churches. But an ordained deacon, and there's nothing sinful about doing that, but I remember I was going soul winning one time with a man in our church in Tennessee, and we were out soul winning, and he was sitting there, and they had just joined the church, and he goes, you know, I'm an ordained deacon. I said, okay, I'm an assistant pastor. Woo! Woo! We're saying, he must have said that five times. He's sitting right here. And, you know, we stop and we led someone into the Lord and we get back in. I was like, man, that's great. We got somebody saved. And he goes, you know, I'm an ordained deacon. I was like, you already said that. I can use it as a ringtone on my phone if you'd like. I'm an ordained deacon. I'm an ordained deacon. At any rate, he said, you know, I can do some things in the church. He said, I ought to be put in a position in the church because I'm an ordained deacon. He was basically, I wasn't over-positioning people, praise God. I was an assistant pastor, but he was upset with the pastor because the pastor would not automatically say, oh, you're an ordained deacon. Okay, here, I'll let you do this in the church. They stayed in our church for a year and a half. He could only put up with it so much. He was after the position, the title, and I'll never forget that. I think deacons who haven't been taught right come wanting to be served, and they want the chiefest places in the city and the chiefest places in the church. Just listen to it. Matthew 23:5-7 says, but all their works do they do to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi, or Deacon, Deacon. I don't think that's the way it's supposed to be. What would happen if it said this? If it was said of this? But if all their works are to be done to be seen of God, they make broad their gifts to others. They enlarge their time serving widows and the fatherless. They love the least position at the fellowships and they love to serve in the church. They don't want to be greeted in the stores as a somebody, but all they want to hear is maybe someday before they get to heaven, the words quietly said, they really care. They help others and they're a servant. What would happen if it said that? That'd be a little different. That's kind of just mirroring it, a little opposite. A hospital visitor saw a nurse tending to the sores of a leprosy patient and said, I'd never do that for $1 million. The nurse answered and said, neither would I. I do it for Jesus for nothing. I do it for Jesus for nothing. I want to look at deacons in the Bible. If you'll take your Bible and go to Acts chapter 6, I'm going to give you a few thoughts on it. Take your Bible, go to Acts chapter 6. While you turn there, I'm going to give you a few things. You're going to Acts 6 and then listen to this. The word deacon refers in the New Testament two ways. First of all, it refers to Christian workers in general. It's interchanged with the word minister, servant, and deacon. It's interchanged. The Apostle Paul was called a deacon. They're also the word is also used for servant, and it's used in a Christian worker general sense. Then, secondly, in the New Testament, deacon also refers to an office in the church. The work of a deacon, in the general sense of being a servant to Christ and the church, is that of every Christian. What I just told you about, a Christian worker in general. But there is also the office of a deacon spoken of in the New Testament. An office with a definite and high standards, and an office which only properly and qualified and chosen Christians are to hold. And I don't want to go through it. Somebody asked the question, women deacons. There's one lady, Phoebe, all right, Phoebe, however you want to pronounce it, in Romans 16:1. It's an illustration of how a woman can be a deacon in a general sense, a servant. But to hold the office of a deacon, it must be a man, because they have to be the husband of one wife. Okay, so there is a woman in the Bible that is called a deacon, but it's in a general sense. There's no such thing as women deacons. Okay, there's no such thing, and I've seen people take that out of context. Now that we've got that for a foundation, look at Acts chapter 6 and watch this, verse 1. In those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. So the church in Jerusalem has probably right around, they had 3,000 day of Pentecost, 5,000 more are saved, and then it says many more were added to the church. Many think it was a church of 50,000. If we call it a church of 20,000, that's a lot of people. The church had a complaint. We've got widows in the church that aren't being taken care of. How come the apostles are not able to get to the widows in the church? And if you want to know what a widow indeed is, those are the ones the church is supposed to help. What is a widow indeed? You can look at 1 Timothy 5 for it. But what's a widow indeed? They have to be 60 years or older, and they cannot have any living family. You understand? So there's qualifications for a widow indeed for the church to take care of them. But here, the widows are being neglected. And verse number 2, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now here's a couple of things I'd like you to notice. In this passage, this is where everybody goes to point out deacons. I would like you to point... God used the Lord Jesus to start His church in the earthly ministry while He was here on the earth. Then He used the Apostle Paul to administrate it and to add to it, and that's how we get the Pauline epistles, and that's what we pull our doctrine from. You will notice, I think this is God starting to use men, but the word deacon's never found in this passage. Not once. And I know we always go here when we're saying, I want Bible reasons for, and I'll use it. I just want you to know something. The word deacon's not found in Acts chapter 6 one time. Not once. It is used later, and I think they're getting ready to it. But I'd like to point some things out. First of all, a church is not required to have deacons. What do we have to have a church here? What do we have to have? We have to have a pastor. You've got to have the Word of God. And you've got to have an obedience to the commission, which is also is going to include a baptistry. Amen? That's how come a home Bible study isn't a church. But what do we have to have church? Somebody says, well, if it's a true church, it'll have deacons. Careful. That is found nowhere in the Bible. A deacon is a wonderful thing to have when they meet God's qualifications, but a church does not have to have deacons. It does not have to have them as far as it has to have them. Watch this. Keep on going. Watch this. Look at the qualifications here as they start it. Look at verse 5, and God will expand on this here in 1 Timothy. But watch this. Verse 5, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen. I'm sorry, verse number 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So there you've got the qualifications, and then you have these men here. The only person that anybody's heard anything of in verse number 5 is Philip. If you want to take it, what does a deacon at least start to do? I find the deacons here, if you're going to use that word, the deacons here preached, and they went soul winning. But I mean, they preached. Philip was preaching a revival. I mean, it says where many were getting saved. Then, of course, God calls him to win the Ethiopian eunuch. However, Philip's a preacher. I think that I can give you my speculation. Now, this is Pastor Nashology. Okay, this is not. I think a deacon is supposed to also be somebody that is literally letting the pastor teach them about the ministry. They're teaching where the pastor helps them. Some of these men, as far as legend, not your Bible, but legend will show you, they went on to pastor. Some of these men were martyred. They were martyred. Now, I realize you have to read history for that, but listen closely. The word deacon is not used at all in this passage. If I took the ratio from this, if let's say the church at Jerusalem was running 20,000 and seven men were chosen, seven goes into 20,000, roughly about 3,000, a little less. So if you want to take Bible standards, we don't have to have a deacon here at Gospel Light until we're running 3,000. That's a lot of people. Let's say it was running 3,000 plus 5,000, it's going to be 8,000. Let's say it didn't grow past 8,000 at Jerusalem and they had seven men. Well, now the ratio is, if I said, okay, in the Bible they didn't have deacons until the church was running 8,000, so seven goes into eight. We don't have to have a deacon around here until we're running 1,000. Just be real careful about as far as when people say you have to have deacons. No, you don't. A church does not have to have deacons to be a New Testament church. Deacons are a blessing when they're scriptural and right. When we do have them, and I believe one day we're going to have deacons in our church. I'm not going to rush it though. I'm not going to rush it and push it. I'm for it when God opens the opportunity and the door. But how about this? When we do have them, the name doesn't have to be called deacon. You say, well, it's supposed to be deacon. The word deacon means dirt servant. It does not just mean servant. It means an errand runner. It means one who follows the commands of another. You don't need to know Greek to learn that. Just look it up in Webster's. One who follows the commands of another. They never are ruling. The word deacon, it means dirt servant. The lowest office in a holy order. The lowest office. The lowest office. You say, why are you teaching this? What would happen if when it's time for us to have a deacon board, we didn't call them deacons, we called them servants? In our church, we elect, same thing, right? We elect servants once a year, and we vote on them. The pastor leads the vote, but we have a servant board in our church. What's the difference between a deacon board and a servant board? Wouldn't if we use the word servant, wouldn't that... And watch this. I've known good... I know there's always horror stories about deacons messing up churches. I haven't known those. Do you understand? I've known... The men that I've known that were deacons were godly men. And if you want to get specific, I watched one pastor. He needed some help in the church real bad and didn't have any men that qualified. He chose a divorced man to be a deacon. You say, he's one of the godliest men I ever met. Loved his church, loved his pastor, and was a tremendous help. Well, you should. We're not going to do that. I'm just saying, I watched. Have you ever noticed sometimes somebody who goes through a divorce goes through an unbelievable amount of pain? And sometimes they bounce higher than those who've never fallen. And I'm not endorsing it. And no, we're not going to have anybody. We'll do the qualifications. I'm just saying, I've known people that were very godly that you did not need to write off. I thought that they were servants in a wonderful way. I think the word, and I've heard somebody say, well, it has been taught and practiced that the deacons are supposed to be over the business of the church, and the preacher just preaches. And they take that from Acts chapter 6, where it says, whom we can appoint over, it says, this business, not the business. It says, this business. What's the business? This business is contextual. Acts chapter 6 is somebody to take care of the widows. Scripturally, a deacon can oversee and help the pastor in meeting the needs of the poor and the fatherless and the divorced in the church. This business. Not deacons are supposed to oversee all the business of the church so the pastor can just preach. That is not right. There's only one person that gives an account to God for everything that takes place on this property. And that's the pastor. I give an account for every lesson taught. I give an account for every sermon preached in junior church. I give an account for every... to God. Now, as men see that and understand that, then they can say, I want to help. And that's what a deacon is. A deacon is a servant who says, I want to help the pastor fulfill his calling. Because there's not one deacon that's going to give an account of a church. Not one. Not one. But there's a teaching, and I've kind of noticed this a little bit. Well, you see, if you would have deacons in the church here, they could run the church, and then you just preach. I said, and then they showed me the Bible verse. I said, that's not scriptural. That's not right. There's one person that gives an account to God for everything that takes place, and that's the pastor. That's the pastor. Deacons help the pastor fulfill his calling. When I was at Shenandoah, I remember when our church blew up. And the deacons took charge of the church. And they split the church. Because the Constitution said, in the absence of a pastor, the head deacon is in charge. So they gave 1,200 people. 1,200 people over to one man, and he tried to, his health went, poof. That would kill anybody. Then he started firing staff. You're fired, you're fired. Deacons can't run a church. Pastors do. Do you understand? Pastors and assistant pastors. You know what a deacon does? A deacon enjoys, as far as helps the pastor. Pastor, the Constitution says this, and at a business meeting, they can help with that, and they help with the business of the church, but they don't know working with people like the pastor does. So guess what I watched happen? You say, what's your point, Pastor? I watched a church split because a ruling office was given to a deacon. Deacons are never, not one time in your Bible will you find deacons ever ruling in a church. you will find them helping, but they never rule. It's not a ruling office. And I got to experience that firsthand, and I watched it hurt our church very badly. There are some things that only the pastor can do. There are some very big, very important things that need to be done. But they aren't little things, but anyone can do them. Just because anyone can do it, does that mean it's not an important job? Can anybody take up the offering and help be an usher? Sure, it's important. We have stipulations with that. Can anyone mow the grass, clean the building, pick up outside, check on the widows, paint the building? Yes. One person can't do it all, but anyone can do something. That's what's called a servant. The world needs men. The world needs men. Most would say, well, I don't want to be a deacon then. I don't want to do that. If the word deacon means dirt servant, then that's fine. Just don't forget, the servant is greatest of all. The world needs men. Men who cannot be bought, whose word is their bond, who put character above wealth, who possess opinion and a will, who are larger than their vocations, who do not hesitate to take chances. The world needs men who will not lose their individuality in a crowd. The world needs men who will be as honest in small things as in great things. The world needs men who will make no compromise with wrong, whose ambitions are not confined to their own selfish desires, who will not say they do it because everybody else does it, who are true to their friends through good report and evil report in adversity as well as in prosperity, who do not believe that shrewdness, cunning, and hard-headedness are the best qualities for winning success, who are not ashamed or afraid to stand for the truth when it's unpopular. And the world needs men who can say no with emphasis, although the rest of the world says yes. You say, why would you say that? Because if we're looking for deacons, one day we'll have them. Right now, we're all just serving each other. And when the day comes for us to elect deacons, it'll be the servants of the church. It'll be those who served. Well, so-and-so has a lot of money. Well, so-and-so has been around for... So-and-so has done... Who's the best servant in the church? That's how we'll pick the deacons. That's how we'll pick deacons. One day, when the Lord gives us that opportunity. Just listen to these illustrations here on being a servant. F.B. Meyer said, I used to think that God's gifts were on shelves one above the other, and that the taller we grew in Christian character, the easier we could reach God's gifts. I now find that God's gifts are on shelves one beneath the other. It's not a question of growing taller, but of stooping lower. That we have to go down always serving others to get His best gifts. I like that. When we get low to help people, then we will grow and be the best Christian. General Eisenhower once rebuked one of his generals for referring to a soldier as just a private. He reminded him that the army could function better without its generals than it could without its foot soldiers. General Eisenhower said, if this war is won, it'll be won by privates. In the same way, the common, ordinary, one-talent Christians are the very backbone of every church. We have our great evangelists, our super congregations led by dynamic elders, and our wealthy brethren who are able to finance great works. But if the work of the Lord is to be done, if the gospel is to be taken to the lost, it will be the ordinary Christians who will do it. The servants will do it. Let me give you one more. An admirer once asked the famous orchestra conductor, Leonard Bernstein, what was the most difficult instrument to play? He responded with quick wit, the second fiddle. He says, I can get plenty of first violinists, but to find one who plays second violin with as much enthusiasm, or a second French horn, or a second flute, he said, that's my problem. He said, yet if no one plays second, we have no harmony. Isn't that amazing? the hardest position is also one that adds to the harmony of the group. It's easy to be the big shot, that one that everybody knows, but it's hard to be the one that's always second. Remember, I told you at the start of tonight, the biggest mistake you can make is to believe that you're working for someone else. You're supposed to do your work as unto the Lord. You say, I couldn't be a good deacon. I don't know much. Let's look at the qualifications. We've already went to Acts 6. Let's go to one last place tonight. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and look at verse number 8. And let's look at the qualifications of a deacon. I just want to point out a few things here. I'll say it once again. I believe one day we're going to have deacons. We don't now. I'm not looking for a deacon board at the start of the year. I just believe one day we're going to have deacons. And when we do, I want everybody to understand what it's all about. What's the word deacon mean? Two words. Dirt servant. It means dirt servant. Let's look at the qualifications here. Look at verse 8. Likewise, now in 1 Timothy 3, up to this point, he gives the qualifications for a pastor, and that's a wonderful study also. But watch this. Likewise, must the deacons be grave. What's that? That means sincere. That means focused. That means serious. The word grave. Not double-tongued. That means not consistent in their story. In other words, some people are kind of given to exaggeration, and I understand that, but God says that's not the qualification of a deacon. Every time they tell the story, it can't get bigger and bigger. And I know the fish started this big, and you know, then it got, I know that, okay? But that's not supposed to be the qualification of a deacon. Not double-tongued. The story is consistent every time it's told. Not given to much wine. That's not talking about, well, they can drink a little, they just can't drink much. That's not talking about that. It's talking about wine in this sense of the New Testament is talking about luxury. Not given to much luxury. They don't have to live in a tent under a bridge. But they can't be so materialistic that their status is determined by everything that's on the outside either. Not given to much wine. In other words, money cannot be the main determining factor. And watch this. Not greedy of filthy lucre or driven to gain funds unjustly. Okay? Look at verse number 9. What else? Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. What's the mystery of? We learned a couple of Wednesday nights ago. What is the faith? The faith is the doctrine of what it took to get us saved. The local church. The Word of God. We learned what is the faith. There's seven mysteries in the New Testament. A deacon, this is saying, a deacon needs to understand doctrine. They need to rightly divide the Word of truth. They need to be grounded. Watch. Keep on going. It says here, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Then, verse 10, and let these also first be proved. That means tested or examined. That means that cannot be someone that, praise God, I'm glad they got saved and they're fresh out of jail and they're ready to hit the thing running. That they need to wait a while. Let them first be proved. Proved. Tested. They have a history and of faithfulness to soul winning and faithfulness to church. And they honestly. Then, let them use the office of a deacon being found blameless. What's the word blameless mean? It means unable to place blame. They need a clean report. They can't be, you know that guy? I've heard some rumors about him. That's not good. That's not good. That will bust up a church. When we were in Tennessee, one of the deacons that had been there, we merged with a church, and they had had a deacon for 20 years. That man, every time we'd go soul winning, we knew something was wrong. That one deacon had been the deacon and the pastor, and they'd been running, I think it was 15 or 20 people, for 20 years. The church didn't grow at all. We got there, and we'd go out soul winning, and so-and-so at your church? Well, yeah, well, I'm not coming. Well, what in the world? Then we'd do it again, you know, a couple of weeks. Somebody else would say, hey, somebody mentioned, the deacon. It's the deacon at the church. We found out that guy, for 15 years, had rented mobile home parks, And it was the filth that he had going on when people couldn't pay him rent, what he took instead of it. It was vile. We ended up voting him out of the church. He'd been doing that for 15 years. He was not blameless. It was not good. And our church, it was amazing. We were going soul winning, doing everything. Nothing was growing. That's because there was death in the pot. You understand? There was, and when we kicked him out, praise the Lord, the church started to grow. It was wonderful. Watch this. Look at verse number 11. Even so must their wives be grave. Did you know it takes more for a deacon to meet verses 8 through 10? Their wives are also important. You say, Pastor, in verses 1 through 7, there's no qualifications for a pastor's wife. You are correct. Do you know why? Because the only qualification my wife has is to be my wife. There are no qualifications for a pastor's wife. There are qualifications for a deacon's wife. Let's look at them. Watch this. So the deacon's wife must be grave. That's once again, that's serious. That word means grave. Not slanderers. That means false accusers. Sober. That's not talking about drinking. It's talking about alert and vigilant. Faithful. That means trustworthy in all things. I've been at some churches and the deacons were literally some of the godliest men that I've ever met. And I mean that. I honestly can say today, I don't really think I've ever met a bad deacon. Okay? I've never met one that hated their pastor and was going to split. You know what I mean? I haven't met that. But I have met those same godly men in a church I was in. There was two wives, two deacons' wives. I've never in my life heard such gossips, such critical. I mean, they kept the pot stirred. We were always putting out fires. And it was always traced back to two deacons' wives. I was like, how did they become deacons? We were constantly, I got it. Okay, oh, there's another one over here. We did that for 3 years. And I wish, I really wish when somebody goes to choose a deacon that they would look at the wife also. Does she meet the qualifications that God says? Can she keep her mouth shut? You say, how important is that? I've been out soul winning at one church I was a member of. When I did this, they said, is so-and-so still the secretary of your church? And I said, oh yeah, she's been there for 29 years. They slammed the door in my face. I was like, good goonies, what's going on around here? I get back to the church, sure enough, she was the biggest gossip in the church. I was like, can we fix this? Because I got the door slammed in my face. Wives have requirements put on them by God. Watch this. Look at verse number 12. We're almost done here. Let the deacons be the husband of one wife. That word, one wife, before you major on it, it means one or first. That's where we get deacons should not be from divorced. Do you understand? It's that one phrase. I will say this, though. I've known pastors that were divorced, good soul winners. I'd never go to a church where the pastor was divorced. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just telling you, I can think of worse things to do with your time. And they really built pretty big churches. It was right around 200, 300. I was thinking, wow, that's pretty... And I've watched people stress, husband of one wife, husband of one wife. I said, there's more qualifications for a pastor than that. All supposed to be vigilant, blameless. We can go slow to make decisions. I mean, all those things. But the only thing they care about is, are you divorced or not? I don't major, you understand? There's all the qualifications. It's not one. It's not supposed to be... I mean, the only thing that they ever do is hit one note. You understand? And it's constant. You say, did you get that off your craw? I got that off my craw. Let the deacons be the husband of one wife. Watch this. Ruling their children and their own house as well. For that they have used the office of a deacon. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased to themselves a good degree. That means virtue and dignity and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Let me just ask you tonight, can you be a servant? This is the greatest anyway. If I was to ask you to check your servant quoted, or instead of your IQ, your SQ, to help you take inventory on your servanthood tonight, let me ask you a couple of questions. Do you willingly serve your spouse? Do you willingly serve your parents, your roommate, or other people in your life? Or do you wait to be served? At work, are you known as someone who will help out with any job? Would your family say you help around the house without complaining? Teenager, that was free. Amen. That was good. Ready? At church, do you seize opportunities to give yourself? Remember what I told you? All their works, wouldn't it be neat if that one phrase, all their works are done to be seen of God. They make broad their gifts to others. They enlarge their time serving widows and the fatherless. They love the least position at the fellowships, and they love to serve in the church. They don't want to be greeted in the stores as somebody, but to hear someday someone quietly say, that person really cares, and they help others. I'm going to end it tonight with this. If we had a quick election, if I just said, and we won't do it this way, the pastor has to oversee the choosing of the deacons, but if I said, we need to find some names real quick, everybody, I'm going to give you 3 3-by-5 cards. On each 3-by-5 card, I want you to write the top 3 people in the church that you've seen serve. Don't put your name on it, just put their name on it. And I want you to fold it, and we're going to collect up the cards, and then I'm going to... Would your name be on any of the lists? The ability to serve. Right now, we don't have deacons. And the rapture might happen before we have them. Wouldn't that be neat? But the day we do have deacons, it will be all about serving. Who are the greatest servants at Gospel Light Baptist Church? It's all about helping. It's all about serving. It's all about, let me see if I can help you. And that's what if we're competing with each other, that's what we're supposed to be competing about. Helping each other, loving each other, serving in the church. Let's pray. Father, please, I ask that we could use this tonight. Lord, an understanding of deacons, and yet, Father, I know that deacons aren't just automatically materialized, but they're grown. And so I pray that please, we could work at serving. Thank you for these people.